Right. Well, welcome out, guys. Thank you so much for coming out. Can you guys hear me okay? All right. Yeah? Okay. So every time I say that, somebody's always like, what? And nobody got the joke. So you just missed that opportunity. You got to do better. All right. Well, I want to start. What's that? Oh, yeah. I know. But there's always somebody being funny. Can you hear me? What? Like, you know, that whole thing. So, yeah. You're just too sweet and innocent to know that anybody would do something that sarcastic. All right. Well, we do want to open up with a few announcements, and then we'll dive into prayer and finish up our study from last week. So a couple of things real quick. We talked about this on Sunday. You guys know Operation Christmas Child, which is where we put together a shoebox of Christmas items, gifts for Operation Christmas Child, and then Samaritan's Purse, who oversees that, takes those shoeboxes, and they go to children all over the world in many third world countries that don't go as the gospel. So every kid gets to hear that it's not necessary to get the shoebox. So they give them the gospel, but they also get the shoebox. And it's amazing how many children have been affected by this ministry. So out here in the lobby, there's a table set up with all the information you need. There's shoeboxes out there empty you can just grab. You don't have to use those shoeboxes. You can use any shoebox you'd like. It just has to be able to close. And then if you wrap a shoebox that you bring in, you just cannot wrap the shoebox closed. Wrap the lid, wrap the box, but it has to be able to be opened so that it can be inspected and looked through. There are things that can't go in the shoebox because it's traveling overseas. And there's little booklets like this that you guys got Sunday in your bulletin. If you did not get one out here at the Welcome Center, at the table, there are little books like this that walk through everything you can and can't put in there. You can also find it on their website, what can go into a shoebox. Pretty simple, no toothpaste, no liquids, obviously no toys that are war-related items, so no action figures that have guns or knives or those kind of things. In our culture, those are toys. In other cultures, that's like real life. So we don't want to do anything like that. So that's all explained in here. If you'd like to grab a shoebox and fill one, huge impact can be made for the cause of Christ with that. With Operation Christmas Child, don't forget, we're also doing a drop-off location this year for us. So we're going to be collecting boxes for our community. And so that's going to be the 17th of November till the next Monday, which I think is the 24th. You can sign up at the Welcome Center to help with that. That's pretty well filled up, but if there is a need, definitely want to encourage you to do so. A reminder that in two Sundays, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, we're taking part in the Voice of the Martyrs International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We do this every year. We're just going to spend some time in our morning service praying for our brothers and sisters all over the world who are enduring great persecutions for Christ. And so we'll be talking more about that here in just a couple of weeks. Also, with Operation Christmas Child, I forgot to mention this, we are also doing a packing party. So you guys have been donating items, going to pack some shoeboxes. Families can pack shoeboxes or individuals can on their own. Then we're going to do it as a church. Anybody that wants to help pack shoeboxes with all the items that have been donated, that's going on November 14th. Which is a Friday evening. We're calling it our pizza packing party. And so we're going to pack some shoeboxes, have some pizza. It's going to be great. That's at 6:30 on the 14th. We really didn't want to do it on a Friday night, but honestly, this time of year, the calendar is crazy. I know your calendars are busy. A church calendar is pretty busy. So we figured there'd probably be something going on the 15th of November that maybe some of you wouldn't be available. And so we thought we would do it on the 14th. So that's going on. All ages are welcome to that as well. Kids can come, families can come. It's great. Also, just a reminder with Forever Young has their potluck. That's our 50 plus group. They're doing their potluck on November 2nd. Grief Share is doing their Surviving the Holidays. This is going to be a one-time event, a two-hour seminar. This is for anyone that's grieving with the loss of a loved one, especially around the holidays. And so if you have questions on that, there's information in the bulletin. There's also at the Welcome Center a folder that says Surviving the Holidays. In there is all the information you need to know. There's some information. You can sign up and register online for that as well. But you register through the Grief Share website, not our app. So you're going to register through the Grief Share website if you'd like to be a part of that. There's also the ladies ministry is doing their days of praise. They do this every November. And so at the ladies table out here in the lobby, there is the little devotionals that go along with that for, I think it's the 12 days of praise. There's a sign-up sheet for that, and they do a luncheon on Sunday, November 9th. So again, all the information is going to be out there at their table, all right? Discovering church membership. If you have questions about what it means to be a member of North Goodland or just information about our ministry, you can take that class this Sunday at 4:30. It's the second of two classes, so we encourage you to be a part of that. Hallelujah Quilters Craft Retreat is open to anyone that would like to come. That's November 7th and 8th. Again, sign up at the Welcome Center. November 8th is our Impact Student Ministries Rake and Run community service event. Such a fun event. Literally, the students get together. They go off into MLA City. They just drive around the neighborhoods. They see a house that needs their yard raked. They go up, they rake the yard, and they leave. That's the rake and run. So it's a great way to serve the community. The students kind of take charge of that. They leave little invite cards to the services here if anyone's interested in that. But it's a great way to serve the community. So again, that's November 8th. The student ministry is doing Rake and Run. I think that's all the upcoming events and activities. Don't forget the student ministry is doing fruit baskets. Forgot about this. They're putting fruit baskets together for our widows, widowers, and shut-ins. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you can sign up at the Welcome Center to donate items to the fruit baskets. Everything needs to be in by November 19th. And then also with the shoeboxes, one of the other things we're doing, family and our Word of Life kids are still doing them this year. So even though we're doing a packing party, we really wanted the Word of Life kids to still have that opportunity to serve in that in their own way. And so they will be getting information or maybe already have. So if you have questions on this, you can see Sandra, if you have a child or grandchild in Word of Life. They're going to be collecting items and then putting their boxes together here in just a couple of Wednesdays. So I'm sure more information probably has gone out to the Word of Life families, or it will be very, very soon. So lots of ways to serve. And I kind of love this time of year. And I love that we're a giving and generous church all year round. We're always trying to find ways to serve. But I love this time of year because there's so many ways to serve. And I'm just really excited about that. Also, not going to be in the bulletin just yet, but just as a heads up, if you guys remember, we do Angel Tree as a ministry here. Some of you guys have been a part of that or have remembered that. I was just talking with Terry Raymond. We already have, I forget how many families she said. It's like the same number or a little bit more, maybe a few more families than last year that we get to be a part of that. So we are doing Angel Tree again. So here in the next few weeks, you'll be seeing stuff about Angel Tree, all right, which is a way that we can come alongside families and children of parents who are incarcerated locally. We get to give Christmas presents to those children and just kind of be on behalf of the parent that's incarcerated. We get to kind of be that loving Christ-like example to those families. So, so excited for that ministry. Can't wait to have opportunity for you guys to plug into that. And again, there'll be more information real soon here. All right. So lots of things going on. Don't forget, if you don't have the app, you can download our app, North Goodland BC, in your app store. All the stuff I just talked about is on the calendar of events there, and you can get all the information you need there too. All right. Yeah. Any questions? Sometimes it's like, just go, 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 go. I know. Good thing I talk fast. Some of you are like, I didn't catch anything you just said. It was so fast. Any questions, comments, or thoughts about any upcoming events, activities, anything like that? All right. Let's go ahead and open with prayer. And then we will dive into the rest of our lesson from last week. Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. And Father, we thank you so much for drawing us together tonight. We pray, Lord, that as we come together, that we would be just open for what you have for us, that we'd receive what you have, that we would hear from you, Lord, and be changed into the image of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us, your grace, and your mercy to us. I'm so thankful that every single day your mercies are brand new. And so, Lord, we praise you for that. We lift up your name for your grace, for your compassion, your enduring faithfulness to us. We could never praise you for all that you are and all that you've done. But Lord, we lift up your name and we ask that our hearts and our minds would be stilled on you this evening, desiring to hear what you have for us. I'm so thankful, Lord, that when we gather and your word is open, that you have something for every one of us tonight. It doesn't matter what's going on in the course of our day, course of our week, whatever we're dealing with or whatever we're going through, Lord, you have something for us. And I'm so thankful that you are intimately involved in every one of our lives through Christ. And Father, I pray that you would be with this time tonight, but also I pray that you'd be with our student ministry meeting upstairs as those teens are, again, diving into your word and being encouraged and strengthened in their faith. I pray that you just work in a mighty way there. And Father, for our Word of Life groups, for the Gopher Buddies and the Olympians, I just thank you for every one of those children. I just pray that you would bless in a mighty way and just draw them closer to you, Lord. I thank you for every leader, small group leader, teacher, check-in person, Lord. So many that are involved to make that ministry run well. And I just thank you for each one of them. And we could not do this ministry without them. So I pray they would know that while they may think their part is small or it seems insignificant, I pray they would know they're making an eternal impact by serving these children and in so doing, serving their families. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for all that you're doing here. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified above all things. And Lord, we do pray that whether it be in a children's ministry or the teens or in here, that if somebody doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, maybe they're trusting in their own morality, their own goodness. Maybe they're trusting in religion, trusting in some religious work or activity. But Lord, if they've not trusted in Christ, putting their faith and trust in Christ alone, then your word says that they are lost in their sin. And Lord, the reality is we were all lost in our sin. And we are all in desperate need of grace. And so I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that has not put their faith and trust in you alone, I pray they would make that decision tonight, Lord, repenting of their sins and trusting you. Thank you, Father, for your salvation, your grace that you extend to us freely, that those who turn to Christ and call upon your name will be saved, will be justified, and will be gifted eternal life. So, Father, again, we thank you for your grace to us, your mercy, and your love, and pray that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we started talking about the hindrances to hearing from the Lord text. We started with this text last week. We'll go back and we'll kind of read that text again, and then we'll dive into a quick review of the first five things we talked about, and then we'll wrap up tonight with the last few things. So if you have a handout from last week, I gave them out last week. If you have one from last week, that's the same handout. You don't need that. But if you were not with us last week, I do have extras. So if you were not with us, we can definitely get you one. So who would need one of the handouts? All right. There you go. Oh, there you go. Maybe.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes, sir. There you go. Anyone else? All right. So as we spoke last week, when we talk about the idea of hearing from the Lord, I truly believe that he speaks to those that are in Christ through his word. And I believe he is always doing that. When I say hearing from the Lord, I'm going to reference that a lot. I'm not referring to an audible voice. There are times where he moves in us by the working of the Spirit or through his word. It seems almost audible. It seems pretty clear and powerful when he speaks to us. But what I mean is when you read the word of God and you read about those who literally heard the words of God, meaning the apostles, the prophets, we believe that when the word of God was finished and complete, that time of God communicating that way ceased and he began to communicate through his word, right? By the moving of the Spirit through the word. And so we do believe God moves and God speaks. We believe God speaks through his word. And so he speaks through others as well. Other believers, pastors, teachers, friends, Christian friends, he moves through them as well. He might lay something on their heart that they communicate with you that is what you need to hear in that moment. So I believe he does that as well. But the normal, consistent way that God speaks today is from his word. Can God go beyond that and speak in a different way if he chooses, a non-normal way? Of course he can. He's God. He can move that way. So when I say God speaks through his word, I mean normal communication from God is going to be that, all right? So, of course, God can speak through other people. Some have shared other spiritual experiences they've had where they believe like God spoke to them in some way. I'm not necessarily discounting that, but whenever we feel that happens in our lives and whatever experience it may be, we have to go back to the word of God and say, does this align with the clear teachings of Scripture? If it does, praise God. If it doesn't, your understanding of your experience is what needs to change, not the word of God. So that's what we're saying when we say that, all right? So John chapter 10, we're going to look at a famous passage here. We referenced this last week, but John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. And as usual, I'd love to get somebody to read this opening passage for us, if somebody would like to do that. John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Who'd like to read that this evening? David? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, sir. I love this passage. I love that Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of a good shepherd? What's something that comes to your mind, either biblically or just something you think of? Okay, I love that. One that doesn't lose sheep, right? If you lose the sheep, not a good shepherd, right? And we know how many sheep will Jesus lose? Zero, right? If they are his sheep, he will keep them. Right? Praise God for that. Because what do we do as sheep? We wander in. We're off in some field somewhere. And praise God, we need that sometimes. And sometimes it's that loving, caring hand that guides us back. Right? What else comes to our mind when we think of a good shepherd? Good shepherd. Yeah. Psalm 23. Right? Absolutely. And that's what I tend to think of that as well. That he leads us along those nice, calm waters. Right? These lush pastures. These beautiful sceneries of God's provision and care. And no matter what's going on around us, that doesn't change, right? And so again, we have this shepherd who's caring for us, nurturing us, protecting us. So if that's the case, and the good shepherd is Jesus Christ, who is God, then I have nothing to fear, right? I don't fear the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because he is with me. So he protects, he provides, he cares, he nurtures, he leads, right? The only time I get in trouble is what? When? I want to wander off sideways. I want to get out from underneath. But isn't he so gracious to come and get us and bring us back, right? So here we see in this famous passage, he talks about some great truths here, that he knows his sheep and he's known of his sheep. He talks about the idea that the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's the sacrificial shepherd. He laid down his life for us. We know that he died on the cross for our sins. He says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's a powerful statement to a group of mostly Jewish people. We talked about this in Matthew chapter 8 on Sunday night. And if you weren't with us, I encourage you, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We'd love to have you join us. We just kind of go verse by verse, section by section through the Gospel of Matthew. But as we're doing that, we just read the passage where Jesus talks about those that are not who we think will be at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there. That there will be Gentiles. There will be every tribe, every tongue will be in the kingdom of heaven. And so again, we see this. He says, I will get the sheep that aren't in the fold yet, they're coming. And do you know who he's referring to in verse 16? This room right here, if you're in Christ. Right? We weren't in the fold at the time that Jesus said these words, but aren't you thankful that he brought you into the fold? That through Christ, you became one of his sheep. And he adopted you into the fold, into the family. And so again, there's so many great truths here. But obviously in this passage, we see that it talks about the fact that we hear him. We hear his voice. We know his voice. And we said this last time, that shepherds at this timeline in the culture had a relationship with their flock. And there could be five flocks of different sheep in this pen, and the one shepherd would call his sheep and that flock would follow him, and the others would almost be repelled away from his voice. And that's the imagery that Jesus uses. He says, when I speak, my sheep know my voice. And so when we hear his word, we read his word, he's speaking to us. And yet in times in our Christian life, we find there are times where we are hindered in our ability to hear from him. We read the word and we just don't feel like we're really hearing anything from him. And there's a lot of different reasons for this. And so in that handout I gave you, we have 10 different things that in my studies, just coming across some of these things from many different articles and different groupings that I thought were a good way to summarize some of these things. And so we looked at numbers 1 through 5 last week. Again, the teens and the kids will all be over there during our time tonight, so bear with us on that. I don't know what they're playing, but they're having a lot of fun. So, can I tell you guys an honest truth? I love preaching and teaching to the adults. We did youth ministry for like 11 years. Do you know what I missed the most about youth ministry? The games. It was awesome. I got paid to play dodgeball. Like, and then of course there's that temptation when that one kid kind of drives you a little crazy and you're like, let's play dodgeball tonight. And then you'd like put him on the other team. Not saying that happened, but it may have happened. Okay. You're like, oh no, I got him. Don't worry about it. So of the 10 hindrances to hearing from God, number one, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. This is just not knowing him, not having a relationship with him, personal knowledge, a poor self-image. And again, our culture's kind of hijacked that term self-image, but God has made known to us how we should view ourselves long ago. We, the Bible says, we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves or what? Too lowly. And we think humility is thinking so little of ourselves. No. Humility is thinking rightly about ourselves in relationship to God. We elevate him, we decrease, he increases, John says, but we realize we are created in the image of God. We have intrinsic value and worth. People will say, well, why would God ever want to speak to me? Why would God ever want to have a relationship with me? Because he loves you and he cares for you and he died for you. And you have value and worth apart from what you do in this world, your performance, your paycheck, your interests, your perfectionism, how good you are. He loves you because you're his creation. And in sin, that relationship has been broken. We rebelled against him. And in great love, he came and said, whoever will call upon my name, I will save and I will have a relationship. I will come in and I will dine with them. And so we need to think of ourselves the right way. One of the reasons we're seeing what we're seeing in our culture today, all the chaos. Well, there's maybe more than one reason, but I think one of the big reasons is we as human beings are not seeing ourselves or seeing others as we should. If I love my neighbor as myself, I would not call my neighbor the things that people call their neighbors. I would not commit the acts of hatred against my neighbor as we see committed today. It's shocking, the things we see in our world today. If you're on social media for 10 minutes, you're going to see all kinds of stuff of people just being evil to each other. And I understand that there's so many heightened emotions around so many topics today, but if we just saw each other as Christ sees us, as an image bearer of God, worthy of respect and value, I don't have to agree with you, but I can respect you. If we saw each other that way as a society, man, how different things would be. But what's the problem? Sin. We don't see each other that way because sin has crept in and perverted it all. And in Christ, we have an amazing gift. I can choose now in Christ to see you beyond your political beliefs, to see you beyond your religious beliefs, to see you beyond the things you do externally, and to see you as what? An image bearer of God. And if we believe that life is valuable and worthy of protection in the womb, then we need to believe that life is valuable and worthy of protection and respect outside the womb. Does it mean I agree with everything people say and do? Of course not. Does it mean we tolerate evil and don't speak up? No, we do. We speak up and we speak out against evil. But I think we speak the truth in love. And I think we have a wrong self-image and we see others. Only a poor self-image, also a false sense of guilt. And we talked about this last week. Not true guilt, where we've really done something wrong. We're convicted. We need to repent. That's good and healthy. It brings us to repentance. It brings us to redemption and restoration. But false guilt. I've been forgiven. I have repented. I've answered that call of conviction and humility. I've surrendered and I'm walking in Christ. My flesh is going to remind me of the past sins. You're not good enough. You could never do that. God could never use you. Look what you did. But if it's under the blood and we've repented of it and we've taken those steps to make amends, the Lord says, I will use you. This is why I love the example of John and of Peter and Jesus. After Peter denied him 3 times in one night, Jesus comes and has a meal with them, and then he calls Peter and he has a conversation. Do you love me? You guys remember this passage? You love me, Peter? Well, Lord, of course you know. Do you love me? Well, you know, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? And what does he end with telling Peter? Go in, feed my sheep. Any one of us would have said, Peter's done. Peter's of no use. Peter's walked away. But Christ gives a chance for grace and restoration. And Peter, just a few days later, preaches a sermon and thousands are saved. So imagine, we denounce Peter, we get rid of Peter. Peter's of no use. We would have missed that opportunity to see God use Peter in a mighty way. So we have to remember, yes, there's true guilt. If I commit a sinful act and I'm under conviction, I repent and I turn from that sin. But in Christ, we can let that guilt go in the blood. So false guilt. We are just too busy. We're just doing too much. Unbelief. I just don't really believe that God would speak to me because God speaks to you and those elite Christians, but he doesn't speak to me. I'm just an ordinary Christian. Remember, God speaks to all of us and will use all of us for his glory. Number six. Another reason that our hearing from the Lord might be hindered could be God-directed anger. God-directed anger. This is where we blame God for something in our lives. A death, a betrayal. But we believe he didn't do what he should, the way he should. And so we get angry. When you are angry and bitter with someone, are you really interested in hearing what they have to say? We get mad because God allowed something to happen that we don't understand. And we just don't want anything to do with them. I've had conversations like this, maybe you have too, with even Christians who, man, just for years have just had this anger towards God because God did something or allowed something to happen that they just can't understand why he would do that. And it just shook them. It shook their faith. And they're just mad. The reality is we need to be honest with God and lay our emotions bare. Read the Psalms. Did the psalmist ever get a little upset with God? Did God's people ever get angry with God? Of course they did. Why? Because we're fallen man. And when God does something that we don't understand because he's God and we're not, he's in control, we're not, we get angry. But when we get angry and we're confused and really we're hurt, that's really what it is. We're broken and hurt because we don't know why God would ever do that. But if God loves me, why would he allow that person to? And I've shared it before. We were at a Big Daddy Weave concert a couple weeks ago, and the lead singer was talking about his brother who recently passed away. And his brother literally prayed for people who were sick all the time. And like they would get emails about somebody they were praying for, and the Lord would bring healing. And he was dealing with his own sickness and prayed for healing, and God never healed him this side of heaven. And the lead singer of Big Daddy Weave said when his brother passed away, he was so mad. And he couldn't get over the fact that God, this man prayed for people to be healed. You heard that prayer. People were healed. We saw you move in great ways. He prays to be healed. You don't answer that prayer, and he dies. And it took him a long time to work through that. But I don't believe God gets mad at us when we get mad at him. I think if we come in sincerity, shoulders are big enough for that. I'm not talking about being irreverent or being disrespectful to God, and that's okay. We come in humility. We come in honesty. God, you are God, but I don't get it, and I'm mad about this. And I think when we do that, God hears that, and he welcomes our honesty. He welcomes when we're real with him because he knows your heart. He knows what you're going through before you open your mouth. So then why say it? Because there's something in it. When we put words to it and we start telling God how we feel, it just lifts that burden. So if you are dealing with that God-directed anger, give that to him. Stop holding on to it. Surrender it. Have those conversations with them. Speak to another brother or sister in Christ that you can share what you're going through with, that they can pray for you and pray with you. Number seven, pretty obvious one, but another hindrance to hearing from God is harboring sin. Harboring sin. Again, this one seems obvious, but must be stated. When we are acting as though we are good, everything's fine, but we know we have unrepentant sin in our life as a follower of Christ. God is speaking, but we are deaf to it. We don't really want to hear it because what is God speaking to us about when we're harboring sin? It's our sin. And if we know it, we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to repent of it for whatever reason. We're holding on to that thing. We don't want to hear from God. And so what do we find ourselves doing? Quiet times and devotional time, that goes away. Because, man, if you ever have been under conviction for something in your Christian life, anytime you open the Word, you're like, I got to find a passage that God can't use against me this morning. I'm going to go to, Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read something in there. Well, that don't work. I'm going to go in this passage. That doesn't work. Because the Spirit of God will always draw that to our remembrance. Why? Because the minute we repent of that sin and turn from that sin, now we can walk free from the bondage that that sin was holding us in. And so the Spirit, out of love for you and what's best for us, is always going to call us to repentance. But harboring sin is a huge hindrance. Harboring is different than committing. Harboring means I know it's there, I know God has convicted me, and I just ignore his voice. And for some of us, that's still hard to believe. Some of you are like, oh man, whenever that's happened to me, I want to repent immediately. But there's been many who have professed faith in Christ and lived for Christ, and then again, something happens and they fall into sin and years go by. And they've told me, people that have said they've ran from God for years. One woman said she started running from God when she was like 21, didn't come back till she was in her early 30s. And she said, you know what's crazy is that whole time, roughly 10 years, every single day I knew I was wrong. Every day I knew I was doing wrong. During the day, I acted like everything was fine. We're good, living life, loving life. Oh, we're having so much fun. And as soon as their head hit the pillow at night, the Spirit began to work. But for whatever reason, they just were harboring that sin. He brings just what we need when we need it. That correction comes. Finally, they broke in repentance, and God gave them a flourishing Christian walk. And so God is so good and faithful that when we harbor sin, he doesn't let it go. Not because he wants to beat you up with it, because he wants you to let go of it so you can live in the fullness and abundant life. I love what Charles Stanley said in regarding to harboring sin. He said this: harbored sin clouds our vision, divides our minds, and plugs our ears. This is what James 1 talks about. It affects us. So harboring sin is a huge hindrance. So what's the answer? Repent. He's not gone. He's not distant. He's right where he's always been. And he's calling to you in love and grace. Repent of the sin. Number 8, a rebellious spirit. A rebellious spirit. This is an attitude of, I don't want to God's voice. He calls, he leads, he's guiding. You know what he's leading you to do. You just don't really want to submit to that. It's not a sin thing, although disobedience is sinful in a sense, but it's more about, I just don't want to do what he wants me to do. He's calling you to something. You know it. And yet you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'll do this. And this is for the Lord, so this is almost as good. The previous pastor of our church was called to preach when he was 16. This is what he told me, because I was called to preach when I was 16. And we were talking about all that because I was in the youth ministry here while he was here. And I was sharing that with him, that I felt called to preach at that age. And he said, well, I was as well. And I said, that's awesome. When did you start preaching? He said, when I was 30. That doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? Well, he grew up in a pastor's home. His dad was a pastor. And one of the things that, I'll be honest with you guys, when I was called to be the pastor here, I prayed about was, am I going to raise my children as a pastor's kid or pastor kids? Because there's a lot that goes into that. And I know you guys think, but your kids are perfect. I know, they're great. But some, believe it or not our church, never had this experience here, but some churches treat pastor's kids a little harsher than they treat other people's kids. See, the pastor's kid has to always have the Bible. The pastor's kid can't ever do anything wrong. The pastor's kid, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And the pastor's kid sees parts of ministry that some of you never see. Pastor's kid sees the infighting when it gets so bad that it affects things at home. And so I remember talking to him, and he said, man, I saw my dad get put through so much junk. Church splits, people mad about everything, color of the walls, color of the carpet, color of his tie, I don't know, everything. You preached on this preacher, and you should have said it like this, or you did this one hymn, and we've heard that hymn every week for the last 6 weeks. We need new hymns, and just coming at him for everything. And he said, I didn't want to deal with it. So he went into ministry doing gospel music, singing gospel music, did that for a long time. And he told me, he said, I thought if I told the Lord, I'm not going to preach, but I'll go do gospel music. That's almost the same thing. And for years, here he is doing gospel music, knowing the Lord wants him preaching. Now, does that mean the Lord didn't use any of that time he was singing gospel music? Of course he did. God's always going to use those things for his glory. God blessed in mighty ways. But it wasn't until he said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'll go to that little church in Brown City in the middle of a cornfield, and I'll preach. I'll candidate. wasn't even his call. Milo Brown sitting next to the pond. I know Wesley's probably heard this story. He's sitting next to Milo on the pond. Milo's like, hey, we need a preacher at North Goodland. Tom went, okay, I'll preach for you, I guess. He goes, okay, be there Sunday. He preached once, 2 months goes by, 3 months goes by, didn't hear a word. Oh, sweet, I don't have to do it. That's awesome, Lord. You got me out of it. And then they call and go, hey, we voted, you're our new pastor. You want to move in this week or next week? And off and running. And the Lord did great things. But it's the point of, we have to respond in obedience. Even if we feel like we can't, we don't want to sometimes, he always knows what's best for us. So we have to be willing to be obedient and submit and surrender. Because guess what? If he keeps telling us the same thing and we're not listening, it'll start to get quieter and quieter. Not because he's not still speaking, but because we're getting hard of hearing. Not hard of hearing like you need a hearing aid. No offense to anyone using those right now. But hard of hearing spiritually. I'm just getting dull of hearing, the Bible says. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yep. And we fill the void with some other Christian work that we think that'll satisfy the Lord. And again, it doesn't mean he doesn't use those. He will always glorify his name. But we know we're not where we need to be. Now, other times, quickly, you may not know what God's will is for your life, big picture, right? So many Christians are like, what's God's will for my life? Well, if he hasn't given you a clear direction in some area, I can tell you what his will is for your life. Pray. A gather with the believers. Study the word. Evangelize. Worship. Lead your home well. For doing those things, he may or may not give you that direction and the exact thing. But whatever you're doing externally, do it for the glory of the Lord. That's what Paul says. All right. Rebellion, this idea of rebellion, is not the same as reluctance. Remember Moses in the wilderness, rebellion or reluctance. He wasn't rebellious when God called him to go to Pharaoh. He was reluctant. Why? I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if they're going to believe me. But what did he do with that reluctance? Who did he talk to about that? The Lord. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not a very good communicator. God says what? Who made your mouth, Moses? I did. I can take care of that. That's not rebellion. That's just, I don't feel qualified. And Lord, I want to submit. I want to follow, but I don't know if I can. That's just reluctance. Again, if we're going to him in the right spirit and the right attitude, and we're praying about that, I believe God sees that different than, I don't want to, Lord, I'm not gonna, right? That's two different things. Number 9, a hindrance to hearing from the Lord, a rejecting of God's messengers, a rejection of God's messengers. Now, as I said, the word of God is the normal, clear way that God communicates with us. However, as I said, God will choose to speak through sometimes a situation or a person that maybe we would not consider a source of God's voice, right? He may and will speak through good and bad situations as well. He also may speak to you and encourage you in some ways through even the unsaved coworker, unsaved family member, right? God's word is full of examples of him speaking through all kinds of individuals or situations. How about Balaam's donkey? Right? If God wants to communicate something, he's going to. But if we're in the wrong heart, the wrong attitude, and we're not aware of that, we're ignoring those things. But if we're always kind of thinking, Lord, how are you communicating with me through a situation to me through this, right? How can this be for your glory? How can I grow through this situation, this trial, this blessing, whatever it may be? Again, of course, the ideal is to obey instantly, no questions asked. But sometimes we hesitate. We're just not sure. And when we're not sure, we go to him. Lord, is this of you? What would you have me do in this situation? And again, I believe he will lead us. Number 9, we talked about that already. Number 10, untrained listening. Untrained listening. So listening isn't natural, right? Just ask anyone's wife if their husband listens to them, and they'll tell you probably not. Listening is not natural. What we do is we hear, right? We hear people, but do we listen? We must learn to listen. And next week, we're going to kind of go through a little bit more on this, the idea of training ourselves to listen to God. So we talked about all the ways that we can be hindered in hearing from God. Now we want to talk about how do I actively listen for God? What strategies can I use or what things can I put into place? Because we don't want to just hear God. We want to listen. We want to hear what he says and unto application, right? And there's a big difference there. So in conclusion, you see this in your notes there. We will become consistent in studying and hearing from him when we realize who our God is, right? The Almighty Creator God overall. Savior, but also friend. And when we realize why he gave us his word, not as a rule book, but first as a revelation about himself, and then leading us to worship fuller, deeper, and more effectively. He gives us his word so that we can know him and know how to worship him in the right way. So how do we respond to his word? How do we respond to his voice? One word summarizes it best: obedience. We obey. Whatever it says, whatever he asks, when he speaks, we obey joyfully as an act of worship. And so we need to be discerning of that. Always asking, Lord, is this of you? And how are you communicating with me on this? And what do I need to do in this area? And then act in wisdom and just obey as God gives you opportunity. And if you fail in that and you fall short of that, we don't beat ourselves up. We don't tear ourselves down. We say, Lord, I repent of that. I'm sorry for that. Give me wisdom in that, right? And again, there's going to be times God is communicating something with you from his word that is a personal conviction. Like God is leading you in a personal conviction, and he may be leading somebody else in a different conviction. And the problem is when we start taking those personal convictions and putting them on other people, what's that called? Legalism. Where I now say, no, you don't just need Jesus. You need now Jesus and what I say you need to be a good Christian. And we step outside the bounds of Scripture. I'm not talking about the clear teachings of Scripture. There are clear things in Scripture that we're all called to submit and obey to. We're to be so careful when it comes to those ways that God begins to communicate with us about something that's really for us and what we need to hear and maybe different in that moment. And so again, Moody or Charles Spurgeon or who it was, but I love what this author said. Let God be as unique with others as he is with you. Because there are clear things, but there's also unique ways that God is moving in certain people's lives. We got to be sensitive to that and okay with that. All right? Well, hopefully this has been an encouragement to you. Again, just an encouragement to maybe guard against some of these things, watch for some of these things so that we're growing in that walk with Christ, hearing his voice. What I'd like to do is we're going to take our last... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Right. Yes. Yeah. I think for me, the difference between the two is what am I doing with my hesitancy? Am I selfishly focusing on me and saying, no, God? Or am I saying, God, I think this is what you're leading me in. I don't feel like I can do that, but I want to do it if it's your will for me. So would you lead me in that? Like, what I do with that hesitancy matters, I think. Well, I think some people maybe feel a lack of clarity. God, is this really what you have for me? Or is this, I'll give you an example. When I felt called to preach, I was saved for 6 months. I didn't feel qualified to preach. I'm looking at a guy in the previous pastor, I mean, super wise, and just bringing out scripture. I don't even know this book. When I started Bible college, 2 years after I was saved, I took a test. They gave us a test the very first day of school. And it was all this Bible knowledge, massive test. And the idea is you take it at the beginning, you take it at the end, and you should score better at the end than you did in the beginning. I don't know if I got a 45 on that test, 40%. There was so much of God's word I didn't know. When I looked at that paper and I'm reading, I'm like, I don't know that. I can't be a pastor. So in those moments of reluctancy, it wasn't, God, you can't do this. I felt inadequate. And I think, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep taking these steps. I'm going to keep moving forward, but I don't feel like I can do this. And also, every pastoral major on campus played guitar. So I was like, I'm already out there. I have no musical ability. And these guys are out there in the middle of campus just strumming along and worship songs. I was like, I hate all of you. This is crazy. I was like, I can't barely preach, and I can't sing. So So that's what I mean. It's like that feeling of, Lord, I'm uncertain if this is really you. Or was I just in a small church and I did a couple of devotions and people in the church were like, you should do that. You could preach, you should do that. Did I just give in to that pressure? Or is this really of the Lord? That's where I think people sometimes will wrestle. And so we just have to kind of, again, give it to him and then take those steps of obedience as we think he's given us opportunity to. So, all right, good point. Any other comments, questions, or thoughts before we go to prayer? All right, so we'll take a little bit of time and we'll take some prayer concerns. And then we're going to, as we did last week and moving forward, I mentioned this last week, I'll mention it again, where we were splitting up. The men were using the office down there for our prayer time. Word of Life kind of needed another space for a small group. Praise God, they need more small group space. So we gave up the office space so they can have that time. And so we're just going to pray in here together. So we'll take a few minutes of prayer concerns, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll finish up about 8:15 when the kids are done. All right? Any prayer concerns? Prayer concerns. Remember to pray for Lynn Atwell. She went into the doctor today. They thought she might have pneumonia. It turns out it's just a virus. I say just a virus. It's still a sickness. And so on medication, so pray for healing for Lynn and all of that. They want to go down and see Josh soon. And so obviously, hopefully she's feeling better by then. Be praying for Josh Atwell, their son. Very serious heart condition. And want to be praying for the Lord to work in healing there. Dave. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we were going to shed a little bit of light on that with the day of prayer. But yeah, it's absolutely tragic. The number of churches and Christians that have been, churches have been destroyed to remove Christianity from Nigeria. And that's the group's goal that's doing this. And so we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters there and the surrounding countries. Praying for the churches in those surrounding areas that can be a help to those brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Yes. I just heard that like a week or so ago. Obviously, China was very, you couldn't be a Christian publicly in China for a long time. And then just so many years ago, the underground church came above ground, is what they call it. And things were going well as far as that goes. But then, yeah, in the last little while here, they're really starting to come against the church in a large way. I just saw something recently where some pastors were arrested and property was taken and all that kind of stuff. So it's easy to forget that that's the world. The majority of Christians live in that world. Not everyone lives in the world we live in with the freedoms we have. And so two things. One, praying for those brothers and sisters in those areas. But two, let's be so thankful for this. None of us had to walk by secret police carrying guns to get in here. Right? No one's waiting for you outside to arrest you because you were just at church. You can carry this openly down the street and no one's going to stop you. You might get called a name or two, but I'll take that any day of the week. And so we need to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if and when persecution like that comes, let's just pray that we'll be as strong as them. And I think so often we think that the church overseas, the churches in those countries, they need to learn from us, but we need to desperately learn from them. The dependence upon Christ that they have. Yes, yep. Right. Yes, yep. And like I was saying earlier, if we could only see ourselves and others the way Christ wants us to see each other, man, the world would be a such different place. You know, it'd be so different. But right now, there's so much hatred and evil in the world, they're just not seeing each other that way. And when you dehumanize somebody, it's pretty easy to take someone's life, right? So yeah, we need to be praying for that, absolutely. Anyone else? A prayer request or praise? Maria. No. All prayer is important to the Lord, absolutely. Oh, no. Oh, wow. What's that? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and this is Mike and Melissa's dog? Okay. Let's be praying for Mike and Melissa and the kids there and that the dog will return home and that the Lord will comfort them. That's tough on a kid. That's so tough. Absolutely. Anyone else? Prayer request or praise? Yeah, Gordon. Oh, okay. Okay. It was Dan Hunter. Comfort for the family and praying for Dan Hunter, stage 4 cancer. Praying for healing, comfort for the family and all that goes along with that. Anyone else? David. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And this is the beginning of the year? Okay. Be praying, in case you didn't hear that, David works for Spirit Airlines, and they have been laying off and lots of cutbacks and all that kind of stuff. Beginning of the year, how many? 350 pilots? 350 pilots are going to be laid off. And so, obviously, David and Kelsey are praying for wisdom and next steps and all that. He's good right now. But that line is getting closer and closer, so be praying for them and for wisdom and for God to resolve all of this and for those that have and will lose employment. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? You almost got me. William went for the eye. He's in here. He was like, All right, well, we'll go to prayer. I'm going to actually step out. I need to go down to the Word of Life class. Some of you guys saw, if you didn't get a chance to see, go check out the giant paper board in the hallway there with all the different pictures the kids put up there for pastor appreciation. Absolutely love seeing their heart and their love for our church and their love for Pastor Greg and I. And I have to note, as you're reading through there, you're going to see a lot of cool things, a lot of awesome things. Oh, we're so thankful for your teaching. We're so thankful for this. But I realized that according to one of our students, that door popped open. Can somebody get that door back there? Thank you, sir. One of our students, according to them, the second best thing about me is Miss Sandra. So it listed 4 things we like most about our pastor. 4 things. His teaching, Miss Sandra. So I love that. I'll take that all day. It's all good. So she is the best part about us. But no, I'm going to head down there and just get to chat with them a little bit, thank them for that. And so David is going to, do you want to come on up and do it that way? He's going to actually kind of lead our prayer time. So he'll kind of have you guys go to prayer, and then he'll close us in prayer in just a little bit. Do you want the microphone? Okay.